For the last two mornings, I've been trying to finish 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and just don't seem to be able to do it. Haven't seemed to be able to anyway. I think part of it is because there keeps so much coming out of verse 14 and verse 15. But I think what we'll do, we'll just start with verse 15 this morning and see if we can't make a break for it and finish with 15 and 16 and move on into chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." As I pointed out in previous broadcast, these two words, judge, here in verse 15, "he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man," they are two different words, though they look basically the same in the English. I mentioned to you there are five words in the Greek language that are translated with the English equivalent just simply of as judge, and yet in the Greek they have specifically and obviously different meanings, but those don't carry through into the same number of equivalent words in English. So as a result, you have to sometimes thrash it out, get a lexicon, that is a Greek-English dictionary, and try to work it out. You have here in this first word, judge, he that is spiritual judges all things, one who is investigating, analyzing, evaluating, testing things, all things. He that is spirit-filled judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And this word judge does not mean the same thing as the first judge, but rather he is in a position where no man can pronounce sentence against him for two reasons. Number one, God is the judge. It's not right for any believer to pass judgment in the sense that God pronounces sentence on anyone. That's not your realm. And yet I find a lot of people who claim the name Christian, who very stupidly, sometimes in ignorance, sometimes in just spiritual pride, stomping across the line and going ahead and consigning somebody to hell because they happen to disagree with their position. That's none of your business. It's not my business. God is the judge. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "All the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Now, you may be a child of God by adoption, but that does not apply to you. Judgment, in the sense of whether or not a person goes to heaven or goes to hell, when it comes down to evaluating motives, that's not your business. That's the realm that belongs to the judge. You, on the other hand, are like a fruit inspector. By the fruit ye shall know them. Even a child is known by his doings, the scripture says, and that being the case, based on what you see, you come to some conclusions. But that doesn't give you the right to judge somebody in the sense of he'll go to hell. Now, I've heard people, a man I knew several years ago was working in a power plant, and they had I think at that time they were having some sort of a prayer meeting slash Bible study, I don't know, some sort of a meeting on the lunch break, and they'd sit around and discuss church and the Bible and religion in general, and some of it was all right, and some of it was just pretty harebrained, I'm sorry, and just you get some pretty silly discussions going when everybody assumes everybody else knows the same amount of the Word of God, and they all have the basic respect for the Word of God, because that's just not simply not true. Anyway, this fellow that I knew had got into a discussion with one who was from an apostolic background, and the man made a statement, and my friend said, now wait a minute, the Bible says this and this and this, and the guy got mad with him. And, you know, it went on, and my friend kept coming back to, yes, but the Bible says, and what the Bible said was absolutely contradictory to what the man was saying was the way it was supposed to be. Finally, he lost his temper, and this man was supposed to be, some sort of part-time apostolic pastor, and he cursed him. He said, "I close the gates of heaven against you. I consign you to the pit of hell." Now, that's pretty strong language, especially coming from somebody who does not have that power or that authority. That authority belongs to God, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. In the sense of consigning somebody to hell, you can't do that. You don't have it. On the other hand, I come around this from a different angle here. In one sense, you do have the power to consign a man to hell or to move him on toward heaven. You say, no, wait a minute, make up your mind, which is it? You can't pass judgment on a man and say he's going to heaven or he's going to hell and make it stick. You can look at his works, you can look at his words and come to a conclusion. I don't think he's saved, and if he's not saved, he's headed for hell. But that's a conclusion drawn based on the analysis of the evidence. On the other hand, you and I have been given, as ambassadors for Christ, we have been given the Word of God, and we have been given a commission to go and tell. But now the Christian who does not leaves untold some man, some woman, some young person, the plan of salvation. Somebody is depending on you. They may not know it. You may not know it. But you are the only Christian they're going to have contact with. You may be the only Christian that they know or have any awareness of who will know the truth. Now, my friend, if you don't talk to them about their need of the Savior, if you do not present to them the claims of Christ, if you don't tell them what Jesus wants you to tell them, the fact that He loved them, that He died for them, that He is the only way of salvation, you don't tell them that and they die without Christ, you have, by your silence, helped them on to hell. If you were the only Christian that God ever put in their path and you kept your mouth shut and they went to hell, my friend, do you honestly think you didn't have a part in their damnation? On the other hand, that's pretty negative. On the other hand, you and I have, as stewards of the gospel, we have the opportunity to present the gospel to a lost and dying species, if you will, a lost and dying humanity who, without Christ, will go to hell. And if we present the gospel to them and they respond, they get saved, they're on the way to heaven. Do you not see that you have had a part in their going to heaven? That's not a matter of judgment. That's not a matter of passing judgment. It's a matter of doing what you're supposed to do. In that sense, by your action or inaction, by your silence or by your speaking, you can send a man to hell or to heaven. Choice is yours. And it's not so much a choice of, well, I don't like him. It's a choice in, do I obey my Lord or do I not? Will I obey the commission or will I choose to turn my back on it? That choice is yours. But my friend, please keep in mind, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you will give an account. Don't do anything foolish here. If there's something you need to do, if there's someone you need to talk to, do it. And by the way, let me throw this in. This is something the old-timers used to preach, and you don't hear it anymore. It's an ugly word. It's a word that I doubt that you could spell. It's a word you don't want to have to fool with, but it's a word that's a real word in the English language, and in principle, it is a biblical fact. It's called restitution. There are people who know the truth, but because of their testimony, because of the shoddy way they have treated other people, even if they're telling folks the truth, the gospel truth, they won't be believed because of their testimony, because they beat somebody out of something that they didn't have a right to, because they took advantage, because they shortchanged them, because they lied. Now, there's a case, my friend, where restitution steps in. If your credibility is ever going to be restored, you're going to have to make that right. They say, well, I couldn't. It's been years ago. Yeah, I know, but there are still people who remember you did something against them. You injured them, and you knew it. You know it now. And you've never apologized. Well, he ought... No. What does the Bible say about it? You remember the Lord talking about there in Matthew. Says you're going to make an offering, and you remember that your brother has ought against you. Leave your offering there at the altar. You go and you make peace with him. You get it right, and then come again. You can make your sacrifice with rejoicing. Now, I realize he's talking to Jews, but the principle is the same here. This principle is the same. You want to do something for the Lord, and you're going to do it for him. Fine. but make sure you don't have somebody with a grudge against you, some legitimate grudge. Now, some people are not going to like you because they don't like the way you comb your hair or because of the car you drive. They don't like you because of your politics. You're a Republican, they're a Democrat, they hate your guts. I'm not talking about something stupid like that. I'm talking about something you have done, some unkind word you've said, some way you've taken advantage of them, something like that. No. You get that straight. You get it right with them. Okay? Now, let's come back. He the spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Why? Because as one is empowered by the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit, he doesn't say, he doesn't do things that people can point at and say, that was wrong. He'll always do what's right. Oh, wait a minute here. Now, it sounds to me like you're talking about perfection. No, I'm talking about obedience. It's interesting how you can slap a different paint job on something and make something else out of it, but you haven't changed its character at all. You can use words and say, oh, that's... man. But really, what it comes down to is obedience. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my sayings. Yet he himself is judged of no man. See, if you are being the man God wants you to be, if you're depending upon the Holy Spirit, then that means you're not going to lose your temper in front of everybody and then have to either swallow it and pretend like it never happened and expect them to act like everything's all right, or you're going to have to admit, look, I was wrong and I shouldn't have done that. You'll have to apologize. A man who's right with God doesn't scream and yell at his wife and make her cry and then say, oh, well, she knows I didn't mean anything by that. No, she knows nothing of the sort. You made her cry. Apologize. Your kids, you screamed and hollered at them. You lost your temper. You're out there working on the car. You skin your knuckles, and you haul off and just beat the side in on the car and throw a wrench over the hill and kick the dog and cuss the neighbor. Don't you think people hear that? You've got things to make right. Yet he himself is judged of no man. You see, no man who is controlled by the Holy Spirit loses his temper. No man who is controlled by the Holy Spirit laughs at a dirty joke, doesn't swear, doesn't cuss, doesn't do something unkind. That is a man who is controlled by the Holy Spirit, and therefore no man can judge him. Nobody's got anything to... he's Teflon-coated. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Going back to this matter of the man being spirit-filled, who's known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Man does something because God tells him to. Now, I don't mean he says God told him, but because indeed God told him. There are people who do things purely motivated by the flesh, and then they say, oh, I was led by the Spirit of God, lying through the teeth. My friend, please keep in mind that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the one thing Jesus said is unpardonable in this life or in the next. Be very careful what you lay to the charge of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God said do something, then you do it. If he did not, don't you dare profane his name by dragging him into it and trying to whitewash some stupidity that you've engaged yourself in, or some apostasy, some disobedience. We have the mind of Christ. How? Because we're so smart? Oh, I go to such and such church. No, because you've been indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Keep in mind, that means God indwells you. That means omniscience, omnipotence is at your access. We have the mind of Christ. He that is spiritual judges all things. Judge what I say. Is it not what the Bible says?